I'm guilty of sitting down during the first song. Anybody was upset with me? Yeah, I was sitting down over there. I just didn't feel like standing up. So I thought, I can't look like I'm in rebellion. So you reach in and you pull out a piece of paper and you hold it on your lap like you're writing something that you want to share. See? It goes the whole length of the song. I'm kind of in a bad mood because I was waiting around here a lot part of the day for a pest control company to come. They said they were going to be here at 4. They said, give us a 30-minute window. So I give them a 30-minute. 4:30 comes. Then it's 5 o'clock. And I'm thinking, what's going on with these people? Are they in a different time zone? Are they still on daylight saving time or the other one? And then I said to Nancy, I said, they didn't show up. She goes, oh, that's next Wednesday. So, question. How many of you use your, be honest now, use your prayer maps? Is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? If you do, I've got some other ones up here. Now, I have a limited amount. There's like 24 of them. This one is USA prayer map. So it works exactly the same way. I pull my world map out. I pray over those ones. This one works the same exact way, where you get to pray for 2 states a day. And then also you can pray for the government, the legislative branch, the Senate and House, a rep, the judicial branch with all the Supreme Court, and then the executive branch. Today we prayed for New Hampshire and Vermont. New Hampshire and Vermont both need prayer, all right, especially Vermont. We lived in New Hampshire. Their motto is one of the best mottos, I think, in the country. Their motto is live free or die. That's a pretty good motto. When we left there, we realized that we changed it ourselves and said it actually should be live, freeze, and die because it's so cold up there. But anyway, they're up here. Only take one if you're going to use it. But if you want to start using one, here they are up here. Maybe start out with one per family. There should be enough here, but if you both use them, then go ahead and take them. Lesson number 5 is where we're at, page number 18 in our power series. We're getting into the area of the power of united prayer. Very good lesson. Hope we can get through all of it tonight. There's a lot here in this lesson. As we get into here, I want to share a couple of things before we actually get into the lesson itself. Anna, do you have the lesson? I will. I'll give you one of these. That way, you can do it, and then you can just copy out of it. These are only $14.95 tonight. But wait, there's more. You bet. Pesos. And for anybody, these are free up here, so you don't have to worry about that. Don, they're $2. All right. And. Here we go in our lesson here. Let me say something here, and I need somebody. Brother Glenn, why don't you turn to 1 John 5, if you would, and I'll have you read that in just a second. 1 John 5, and you can read when we get there to verse 11 to 15. But I want to say something tonight before we get into this lesson here. For you and I to pray effectively, where we're seeing something come from that, we need to realize that the Word of God is our primary weapon. Would you agree to that? Because the Word of God reveals to us the will of God. And God makes it clear we need to pray according to His will. So read 1 John 5, 11 through 15 real loud, Glenn. Okay, so he, when we pray according to that, according to his will, and his will comes from where? His word. We know that he what? He hears us. God wants to hear us, but we have to pray according to his will. A lot of times I think that prayers are not being answered because they're not the will of God. And so he doesn't even pay attention to those, evidently. Now understand, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about where God delights in those that pray. It is the delight when he sees us praying, but that prayer has to be based upon his will, which is found in his word. Now with that, we get into the lesson tonight on the power of united prayer. And we're going to look at some, what we have here in your heading, timeless insights from the early church. Understand, the early church is, in a sense, a blueprint for us today. It gives us exactly what we should be doing. If we see that they're doing it and it's successful, that's our blueprint to follow, if you want to have that type of prayer life. So look what it says here in Acts 4, verse 31 to 33. And this is the early church. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Folks, this is the outcome. What we're reading is the fruit that is coming from united prayer. If you notice in those verses, the word they, everyone was included. It's used five times. We're talking about they assembled together. They were all filled with the Spirit. They all spake the word of God with boldness. They all had one heart. They all had one soul. And they had all things that were common. And great grace was upon them all. So we see the power of united prayer. This is exactly what God wants us to understand and to grasp. There is power in personal prayer. There is great power in corporate prayer when we come together for that purpose. In Matthew 18, look at verse 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree, that's talking about a united spirit on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done unto for them. And of my Father, which is in heaven, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That, in other words, means if you guys are going to gather or join together, I will be there with you. Now, the setting in this particular verse, if you go through all of Matthew chapter 18, you see that God is showing a lot of grace to different varieties of people. In this setting here, in verses 19 to 20, it's actually referring to church discipline in this area. So you can't take this out of context because it's talking about discipline. So even whether you're praying for the power of God for witnessing, the power of God for saving souls, whatever the prayer that you're coming together to join, even to the area that you don't want to be in, where you have to carry out church discipline. Most churches don't even do that anymore. But sometimes it's necessary. But if you do, it has to be done biblically, and it's in unity. There has to be unity in the body in doing that. Now, there is a principle that we can at least take from that, that is shown in other verses that we just saw in the book of Acts, that God honors unified coming together of his people to carry out his will, which sometimes his will is to carry out church discipline, or other things. We see here that he promises that I will be with you, and whatever you ask will be done of my Father, which is in heaven. So even in church discipline, you have to go about it biblically. Now, there is a biblical will that how it is prescribed if somebody needs church discipline. You don't just say, we're going to kick somebody out of a church. You just don't do that. You have to go through the steps that provide that. And A lot of churches don't even do that at all anymore. But I'm just saying, there still must be a unified body that comes together, even as small as two or three. And by the way, two or three is very important in this, because you can't bring an accusation against anybody the Scriptures teach without two or three witnesses that agree, that are unified. And so we see it even in that level there. Andrew Murray, most of you, how many have read anything from Andrew Murray? One of the greatest writers, I think, out there. He was a Dutch missionary to South Africa. He says this, "You have need not only for secret solitary time of prayer, but also of public united prayer. And our Lord gives us a very special promise for the united prayer of two or three who agree in what they ask. It is the union and fellowship of believers that the Spirit can manifest His full power." And you're going to need His full power even in the setting of church discipline. You're going to need the power of the Spirit to carry out the will of God in that area. Now, on page number 19, we're getting into an interesting little study here on the sevenfold impact of united prayer. United prayer is going to impact. If it's biblical united prayer, it should leave an impact. They're going to give you a sevenfold impact that comes from that. And when we talk about impact here in particular, we're talking about that united prayer should affect something. There should be effectual, fervent prayer. There should be affecting whatever you're praying about. There should be, my prayer should be influencing something if I'm praying God's word based upon, or God's will based upon God's word, whatever the situation. As we look at this here, first impact, number one, is a supernatural shaking, like you're shaking somebody. It's a supernatural shaking. Now, before we get into this, I want to zero in, because before, on each of these impacts, we're going to see the same first word used, supernatural. It's a supernatural this. It's a supernatural that. A supernatural is a compound word, meaning just two words that are brought together. When you break these up, if you look at the word natural, the word natural is defined as normal or usual, not out of the ordinary. Some of us understand that. It's just not out of the ordinary. It's just something that's natural. When you add the word super and make it a compound word, the word super means over and above, more than what, that which is natural or ordinary, that which transcends the laws of nature. So we're talking about the supernatural. It's not something that man can do. It's something that only God can do. And there's going to be a supernatural shaking. Look what it says here in Acts 4:31. "And when they had prayed," the prayer time is over. They've all gone around. They've all been praying. It comes to an end with the final, "In Jesus' name, amen." "And the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." The first thing that took place before they were filled with the Holy Ghost, before they began to speak, to preach the word of God, proclaim the word of God, there was a shaking. Very important. We'll come to that here in a minute. Look, if you would, with me on the verse down below. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 7 and verse number 9. God says, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come." He's referencing that my son, the Messiah, will come. "And I will fill the house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." The former place was, does anybody know what he's referring to? Brother Don. The temple, Solomon's temple. Remember Solomon, David gathered all the material, great amount of wealth. It was an incredible temple from what you read in Scripture. And that even when they got done dedicating it and praying, God filled the temple with smoke of His presence, and people fell on their faces, man. It was just a sight to see. Well, that temple got destroyed, and they rebuilt a second temple, which is still up in Jesus' time. And, matter of fact, I preached not too long ago about it, how the old men cried and the young men sounded trumpets. There was a celebration by the younger generation because we have a temple. Look at this, we have a temple. And the old generation is crying, not because they have a temple, but because it wasn't as glorious and as nice as the first one. So here's Solomon's temple with all of its glory and the presence of God and all that took place. And then you have the second temple, which was still for the right purpose, and it just didn't have all the, what we consider the great wealth and the awe of it, of the first. But notice what he says here, and the latter house shall be greater than the former. So this latter one's going to be even greater than Solomon's temple. So how did that happen? In Solomon's temple, God's presence was revealed. Anybody know how that made, how the lesser one was greater? God's presence in the flesh. Here was in the spirit and smoke, but it was Jesus who went into the temple, remember, and purged it out and turned over tables. So it was greater because that one had the spirit of his presence. This one had God himself incarnate in that. Yeah, it was incredible. And so he's talking about that God says, I'm going to shake the earth. When you're shaking something, you're taking the things that are loose and getting rid of them. They're coming loose. Now watch. So this place that they're praying in is shaken. That would be pretty wild, wouldn't it not? All of a sudden it starts trembling and shaking and going pretty hectic. Here he says that his voice is going to shake the earth. In Hebrews 12, the next one, verse 26 and 27, whose voice then shook the earth, as he refers back, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. You see, God loves to shake things up. He shook the church. He shook the earth. And now he says, I'm not just going to shake the earth, I'm going to also shake heaven. And the heaven he's talking about, it's not the abode of God. It's actually talking about the universe as a whole. The aerial heavens as we know it. He will shake it. If you go to Matthew, and you can write this down, Matthew 24, 27, during great tribulation, you're going to see the stars fall from the sky. The sun and moon are going to lose their brightness and darkness because God is shaking things up. The temporal things that have no eternal value will actually shake and come and fail. God's going to get rid of all those things that are not worth keeping around. Matter of fact, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He goes on, and this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Jesus was cleaning house in the temple. Jesus is going to clean house in the church. Judgment, the Bible says, must begin at the house of God first. And then it goes to the world. And in the process, even everything's going to be shaken. And you and I, by His grace, according to His word, are kept by the power of God through faith. You will not come loose during those shakings. Matter of fact, those shakings will empower you just like it did them. And so here we see there's this impact of united prayer. This is where it all began, was in a prayer meeting. The second impact here, when they had prayed, was a supernatural empowerment. A supernatural empowerment. The word empowerment means that they were equipped and supplied with an ability that they did not have of themselves, that God invested something into them at that moment. Look what it says in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now watch. And they were, most of them, filled with the Holy Ghost. What's yours say? All filled with the Holy Ghost. And evidence that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spake the word of God with boldness. I want you to catch this. God's shaking the church. He's filling the church. And evidence of that filling of the Spirit, those people are boldly, without fear, they were courageous, proclaiming the word of God. Proclaiming the word of God is always evidence of Spirit filling. We'll see that here in a minute. And we're talking about it all came because of when they had prayed. After they had come together, united as one soul, one mind, one focus, God did all this after they finished with the last amen. Look at Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. When? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what will happen? What's the evidence of that? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. You're going to go and proclaim the word of God with boldness. A boldness that you do not have of yourself. I would venture to say that there may be several in here who haven't shared the gospel in a long time. We've never spake the word of God. We just don't, like we should. You know what that means? You or I need to be shaken. And that's not going to happen until we get serious about prayer and seeking it as a group. I would like to be a part of a great shaking, amen? I would like to be a part of God doing some supernatural thing that we can see, that this is definitely God. The Scripture says one of the areas that David prayed in the Psalms, he was praying for a situation, and he says, God, that we may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, has done it. This isn't something that we've conjured up. This is not something that we've performed. We're looking for something that's supernatural, and we see that the only way that we can get the supernatural work of God has got to be through coming together in corporate prayer, specific praying. Sam Shoemaker, he was born in 1893 and died in 1963. He said this, Jesus knew and spoke about the added power that comes when several are praying together. It is a most glorious experience of spiritual power and of fellowship together. He was an author, and he mentored a lot of people. Anybody ever heard of him before? He was one of the people that was pivotal in establishing, when it was established properly, but it's changed over the years, Alcoholics Anonymous. It was to reach people with the gospel and get them off liquor. He was one of the guys who helped establish it. A lot of those things are started out really with good YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association. It's everything but that today. Boy Scouts of America, Christian Situation. Nothing that Christian about it today. And we could probably go on with other things. Huh? Go ahead, Don. Salvation Army. Yeah. Matter of fact, we used to go to camp, family camp, at Fair Park, and we went out to a place that was called... My wife's not in here. My brain is not in here. Camp Hobblazelle, and it was ran and owned by the Salvation Army. The camp was second to none. I mean, you're talking about nice hotel rooms that you stayed in and all that good stuff. It was a good place. And one time I was talking with one of the workers there, and I said, do you know the history of this? They had no idea about it. They're not even teaching the history of why they're even there. I mean, look at the name of it, Salvation Army. There's a need for it. There was a guy that I knew several years ago. He's with the Lord now. He used to put out these little cards for witnessing. And he actually, it was called SOS, Scriptures on Salvation. And every point was an SOS, source of salvation. I can't remember all of them anymore. And he would give you a little pin that you could wear, a little brass pin that had three dots, three dashes, and three dots. And you'd put that thing on. I still got some in my drawers. You could put that thing on, and if you're in the workplace, if your work says you can't witness to people, you put that thing on and start working. And somebody said, "Hey, I noticed you've been wearing that thing. What is that? You don't know what the three dots, three dashes, and three dots are?" They said, "No." It was, that's the international cry for help. It's SOS. Here, let me show you. And you can pull out that card because they were the one that asked you about it, right? They can't stop you. And show them how each SOS represents that. The source of salvation, securing one's salvation, it was all SOS. And he actually got the Salvation Army to use it. And this is within the last 20 years. They were using it and beginning to use it to witness it again. He passed away and it faded right with him. And they just lose what they were established to be a part of. The third impact here is a supernatural courage. Supernatural courage. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were, assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God, notice what it says, with boldness, with courage. They were not fearful. With courage. Impact number four. And when they had prayed, a supernatural unity. Unity. There's a shaking, there's an empowerment, there's courage, there's unity. Acts 4:32, and the multitude of them that believed were, look what it says, of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. It doesn't sound like a lot of churches today. A lot of churches are divisive and disputing. Correct. Yeah, there was all. I think it was. I think so. Yeah, he goes, "Let me show you our power source." Open the door, and there's people praying. Yeah, today there are churches where there's a lot of disputes and a lot of divisions and not all things common, not one heart and not one soul. A voice from the past, Charles Finney, many of you have heard of him, maybe even read of him. He says, "Nothing tends more to cement the hearts of Christians than praying together. Never do they love one another so well as when they witness the outpouring of each other's hearts as in prayer." Fifth impact, and when they had prayed, a supernatural generosity. A supernatural generosity. And by the way, when there is generosity, a supernatural generosity, there will also be coupled with that supernatural joy. That's not in your notes, but that's always found in Scripture. God loveth a what kind of a giver? A cheerful giver. There's going to be joy and cheerfulness with a people that are being used by God. Look what it says here again. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." In this type of working an answer to prayer, you become people who live to give. Think about for just a minute all your things. We all have a lot of things. We got sheds for our things, attics for our things. Matter of fact, people stuff all kinds of things in their garages that are inexpensive and park out their most expensive things other than their house or cars outside. You've heard where the guy talked about all the things that we have, my things. And when you go ready to leave to go on vacation or on a trip, you're puzzled like, I can only take so many of my things. So you're very selective what things you're going to take with you on that trip, right? And you take your things and you gather it, you put them in a suitcase, and you arrive at your place and you get them out and you set them up how you want your things in your little area. And now we're going to go to the beach and or wherever you're going to go. Well, I can't take all my things, so we take a little less of our things and we go, and it just, it is a billion-dollar business in the United States, storage. Storage. And it's full of people's things. Now, with all of your things and my things, are you willing to let other people use them? Would you allow somebody that has a genuine need? That's what they were doing here. Hey, we got this. I mean, they were even going out and said, you know what? I got this lot next door right here, right next to the church. I own this lot. It's just sitting there. There's people in our church that have needs. I think I'm going to go put this lot on the market, and I'm going to sell that thing and give the money to the church leadership and let them distribute it to who they know has need. That is selflessness. That is what the Holy Spirit does through answered prayer. It changes people. They live to give. Supernatural generosity brings tremendous joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when they had prayed, it brought a sixth impact, a supernatural anointing. A supernatural anointing. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great power. The word power is the Greek word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. It's very, very powerful. You take a stick of dynamite. You ever held a stick of dynamite and light it and keep it in your hand until it blows? Yeah. I remember, yeah, talk about dumb. That would be dumb. I remember as a young kid, we had to leave school and come through the city college to get to our house. Well, we didn't have to go to the college, but we did. And it was two stories, concrete everywhere and brick, and people were in class. And it was around the 4th of July. It had to be before that. It had to be after all of that because we still had firecrackers, and we had the good black cats. And so we would take and have them, and we'd be throwing them at each other, running up and down the hallway of the college. And that would really echo through the corridors, and hit the elevator and throw a bunch of men there and kick it back down. Just what stupid boys do, all right? And I was looking for one of my buddies, and I looked, and he was right down below me, and I had a firecracker. I was going to light it and just toss it right down by him. He didn't see me. And so I got ready to light that thing. I took it and lit it and started to sizz, and the bell went off. And class was dismissing. So all these college kids are coming out. And it threw me off just enough that when I got ready to throw it, it blew up in my hand. A black cat firecracker is much more powerful back in the 60s than it is today. And my hand, I had to check to see it was still there, number one. And about that time, they used to drive these little Honda cars for the campus patrol. And somebody had reported us. So a campus patrol is coming up. He sees me, and I'm trying to blend in with college kids, which I don't look like a college kid when you're a little kid, you know. So I'm trying to walk with them, and two of them corner me. And they said, we had a report that people are throwing firecrackers here in the corridor during class time. Are you one of them? I said, absolutely not, sir. My hand is feel like it's going like this. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, I'm still looking down to make sure my fingers are there. It was hurting like nobody's business. I've had kidney stones that didn't hurt that bad. And it was throbbing and pain was working. And I'm trying to look at them guys and say, I wasn't involved in it. I know who was, but it wasn't me. And he looks at me and he goes, it hurts, doesn't it? I said, what? He goes, your hand. It hurts, doesn't it? I said, I don't know what you mean. He goes, you had a firecracker go off in your hand. I said, no, sir, I did not. He goes, what's your name? I said, Kevin Heimer. He goes, Mr. Heimer? Yes, sir. He goes, look at your shirt. And I had firecracker paper all over, man. And it went, boom. I was like Velcro, man. It had it all over me. And I'm sitting, I don't know. Power. That was dunamis, a little tiny dunamis, but it was powerful. And I felt its power. Here, they didn't just have power. It says they had mega. That's the Greek word, mega power. Mega, not just dynamite. They had a mega dynamite. That's what God plays with. And he puts it and gives it to us to use for his glory. So here we see there's this anointing. So there is this, not just power, there's mega power. Gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. And he says, in great grace. Whenever you see great people coming together for prayer, united prayer, there will be two things always. Great power, great grace. Great power, great grace. Look what he says in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And by the way, just to clear this up for anybody that thinks that you can tread on serpents and scorpions and walk away from it, you can't. He's not talking about physical ones. He's talking about Satan and all those are your enemies. He's talking in the spiritual realm. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So there's this supernatural anointing, this power, this authority that's granted to people of joint congregational prayer. I have a series of an old, very frail older man on revival. He has the largest library on revival, most people believe, in the world, but for sure in the United States. He is the expert on the history and of the revival of the past and what needs to take place today. I should bring it in. We should all watch it. It's about 12 weeks worth of study, but it is incredible because this little frail guy comes on, and when he gets going, you'll see God's power come on him. And that little frail man becomes a mighty man of God. Speaking about the... Yeah, this is a different guy here. And so we just see that God can take and put his power on whoever he chooses. Next one is number 7, is supernatural favor. Favor. He talks about great power, and then he talks about the great grace. Grace is God's favor. And notice what it says, great grace was upon them all. Upon all them that had been praying, upon all them that had been filled with the Spirit, upon all them that were speaking the Word of God with boldness. It was great grace and God's favor upon all of them. Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. And I kind of give you a little paraphrase. It could be actually said, God liked what he saw in Noah. Does God like what he sees in us? That we might find favor with him, that we might have his grace upon us. Great grace. The noted Bible teacher S.D. Gordon said, the great people of the earth are the people who pray. Prayer isn't the only thing, but it is the chief thing. And then he closes out the thought here with, the real victory in all service. This is really good. The real victory in all service is won beforehand in prayer. Service is merely gathering up the results. Think about that. I had to read through it a couple of times and start thinking. So when we go out to do something for the Lord, whatever the results we are getting is only because of the prayer that was invested. It and the prayer is what made the results possible. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. Next week, we will cross into lesson number 6. And this gets into some good stuff on God-sized prayers. We think God is on training wheels when it comes to answering prayer, so we don't want to overwhelm him because we just don't know that he would be able to answer something so great as mighty as what we would like to give him. We have 12 minutes. I think we ought to have some prayer time. Amen? Sometimes these have gone too long. We haven't had a lot of time. I think I want to do something different. Let me ask you a question. In their prayer meeting here where they were all gathered together, correct? Would you think that was just men, or was that just women, or was that a combination? How many think it would be a combination? Is it okay for men and women to pray together? Is it okay for women to preach in the pulpit to men, teach men? No. But can men pray? Can women pray? Yeah. Now, I just want to make sure we understand that, okay? We're not crossing any denominational lines here, all right? But I think it's a good thing when the church, which is everybody here, takes time to pray together. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to form a circle and everybody's going to start praying out loud at the same time. But I'm going to give opportunity for whoever would like to stand where they're at. And I'm not talking about praying for ingrown toenails. We're talking about praying real prayer concerning spiritual power. Lord, shake my life. I need some things to be shaken loose, dear Father, so I can get awakened and to receive and be ready to receive what you have for me. What are some things we can be praying for tonight? Somebody just tell me something. It's very, huh? The power to witness. What else? Revival. What else? Huh? Boldness. Okay. What else? Huh? Okay. We'll take that one too. What else? Spiritual growth. What else? Yes, repentant. Is that what you said, repentance? Yeah. Anybody here need to repent of some sin? What else? Whatever else there is, we're going to start tonight where whoever wants to pray can stand up and pray out loud, okay? And we, as that person is praying, will pray in our hearts with them in agreement. We're just, Lord, we're in agreement with you with what they're praying for. All right? And just like you said revival, Don should be praying for a revival tonight for all of us. To witness, Helen, you should stand up and say, give us the boldness and the power to witness. And you pray for the courage to go out and do things and with open doors of opportunity. You pray for repentance. Which one? Anointing. She's going to pray for the... Does anybody have a problem with that? Come on, tell me now. Then, do what? Do we want to see some things shaken up? Do we want to be filled with the Spirit? Folks, I'm just saying, we can... I'm not picking on anybody here. I understand. If the church is afraid to pray in the walls, they'll be worthless out there too. I'm just saying, either we want it or we don't. That's what it boils down to. Either we really want this power or we want to continue and just play church. We can either be real or we can be plastic. There was ladies that were gathered in prayer when Paul was there. I'd like to pray with the Apostle Paul standing by. That didn't affect them because they were filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit-filled person doesn't care if there's an apostle next door to you. So I just want to encourage us, and especially our men. We need to have, we sing the song, O Man of God. What is that one? Rise up, O Men of God. Folks, if all I'm going to do is teach and we close our binders up and at the end of, we only have 5 more weeks here. We'll finish this up the last Wednesday of July. And we put this on the shelf, and it never does anything again. I did this in vain. The Lord directed it in vain. And we're just none the better for it, really. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I'm just trying to challenge myself and us in our thinking. How many of you would like to have been there in Acts chapter 4. Just say amen. It doesn't just happen by reading about it. You have to partake in it. That's the blueprint. So I'm stopping. I'm not saying anything else. I'll close in prayer when nobody else is praying. As the Lord directs you, you can stand up, pray. We'll follow along in our hearts agreeing with you. And it doesn't have to be a long thing. Just popcorn prayers if you need it. But somebody go ahead and get it started, and then I'll close when everybody's done. We've still got 7 minutes.